Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Good news from the practice field, at least from John Glennon. Titans Vaccaro heading to practice with his helmet. Obviously a good sign when he was MIA for part of that game on Sunday because of a concussion.
Right. The one thing, though, is that sometimes you can practice and still not be cleared to play the game. So we'll have to see on that.
But it's much better than not practicing at all.
It's better than him sitting in a dark room. Yes. All day. So, yeah, that's a good note. Will Fuller, that's the one I want to hear about.
Coach Mack joins us. You got any inside information on Will Fuller other than he's really good when he's out there?
Other than Coach said, I don't know about his status.
Talking about Will Fuller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can really run.
Maybe his hamstring will not allow him to run fast, really fast again this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's been something that's been bothering him all year.
Yeah.
You know, clearly off. And you heard what Bill O'Brien says. He said he doesn't know week to week.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on what it is. And those hamstrings are tricky, especially for those speed guys. I mean, they're like track guys. I mean, it really is. As much torque as they put on those hams and what they're doing. And, I mean, I've dealt with it, you know, throughout my whole coaching career with those guys. And there, you can't – the one thing you cannot rush is a hamstring. You know, that you just can't do it, and especially on a speed athlete. I mean, it's bad enough when it's on a big guy because, you know, it hurts your mobility. But for a speed guy, you can't rush that stuff. And mainly with those soft tissue injuries, I mean, rest is what you need. And this time of year, I mean, there's been a lot of torque put on those hams. I mean, it's different.
So how do you defend the Texans? How do you look at defending the Texans if he's in there as opposed to if he's not in there?
Well, I mean, he's got the speed to take the top off of it. Now, there's ways. I mean, they've defended him before, you know, with Hopkins in there. I mean, Hopkins has played well. Well, sure, but you'll figure out. You got to figure out ways to do it because, I mean, it's not illegal for them to have all of them out there at once. So, you know, if they do, and you're going to have to deal with it, and Dean Pease will figure out a way this week with his game plan to do that. But clearly, when an offense loses that speed element vertically down the field, that changes what they do some.
Well, Deshaun Watson is a guy, he's such an interesting quarterback, like Russell Wilson. He scrambles around, but he never looks to run. He scrambles around to keep looking downfield to throw. And Deshaun Watson is a guy who can scramble himself into some sacks by staying behind the line of scrimmage, continuing to try to hope something will come open downfield.
Yeah, you know, Deshaun Watson, I mean, the play is never over, mm-hmm. you know, for him. And that's the mindset he's had ever since Clemson. And that's what he's brought into this league. And that's what makes him... That's what makes him so dangerous. But what he does, he is not a real pocket manipulator. He's a pocket escaper.
Right.
And then when he does, but he still escapes with the fact that and his receivers know this too. They're all in tune with this, and so then it becomes a plaster drill downfield.
Right.
As to what you have to do, and he does a really nice job of scanning the field when he is on the move, and plus he's still got the wheels to be able to hurt you. You know, running the football. I mean, this is a guy that is one of the better, you know, production quarterbacks in the National Football League, and especially on game day. On game day, this guy is as dangerous as any quarterback in the league because you've got to defend multifaceted areas of his game.
I think the other thing about him, too, is just how tough he is. He's taken some big hits. He's taken a lot of hits. He's taken a lot of sacks in his career. And he's like one of those horror movie villains where you chop off his arm and he just keeps chasing you, and you chop off his leg and he keeps chasing you. Doesn't matter.
If you're going to be an accomplished quarterback in the National Football League, you have to be tough because you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit. I mean, that play that Tannehill threw to A.J. Brown, that 91-yarder,
yep.
He got smoked.
He did.
But he stood in there knowing it was coming. And so if you're going to accomplish anything in the National Football League as a quarterback, you're going to have to be willing to put your body in harm's way in the pocket because that's everybody's paid a lot of money to come hit you hard, and that's just what it is, okay? And sooner or later, it's going to happen, but those guys that have enough steel and enough nerve and enough resolve to stand in there and be able to deliver plays, you know, that a squint it later would mean not a completion or stand in there and complete it, Those are the difference makers. And so he's one of them.
Deshaun Watson, that might have been the only time he got hit in that game, but Deshaun Watson is the kind of guy that'll hold on to the ball too, which can kill you or can give you an opportunity to get a big hit on him, get a sack on him. He is tough to defend though, because you can't give up on a rush because he will hold it and he won't necessarily take off running. He's always looking down the field.
No, he is. And what you have to do against a guy like this is you have to incorporate what's called a cage rush. I mean, you can't be screaming up off the edge, because you scream up off the edge, you're creating a lot of grass, you know, on the perimeter. So that you can't do that. And then plus, you've got to be coordinated inside. You can't choose a side, you know, completely opposite of what your partner next to you is choosing, or you've got a huge hole up the middle. And if that starts to happen, then you're going to have to designate, you know, a lot of defenses will designate a spy to that guy. Well, you know, people don't understand. I mean, I think they do. But when you as a defensive coordinator, you designate a spy to a quarterback, you're taking somebody out of coverage.
Right.
I mean, that's just what happens. All right. And so, I mean, then it's, you know, it's which part of the devil are you willing, do you want to deal with? You know, do you want to deal with the fact that he might escape and really and hurt you running or making an extended play off schedule downfield? Or do you want to just take it off in coverage and count on your rush getting there without a spy? I mean, those are the things that you face as a defensive coordinator during a game plan week, and also making calls during a ball game. You got to see how it's going, you know, and how it's working. But a disciplined pass rush against this guy is paramount, because if you see teams that just go screaming up the field off the edge against quarterbacks like this, they've got issues.
How do you have to pick your spots, too, when you're sending a blitz? You still have to work within that framework of, you said, cage rush. I think of people talking about a mush rush, where you're just trying to kind of muddy the waters there. How do you manage your blitz packages when you're doing this same thing?
Well, yeah, let me just talk about a cage rush. The cage rush, you got to have an immense knockback in the middle. Mm-hmm. And the cage part of it comes with your outside elements. Mm-hmm. Your outside elements don't ever get past the quarterback depth. You know, and they've got to be able to use some power push moves. You can still use some evasive moves on the edge with a cage rush, but it can't take place beyond the quarterback.
So you're trying to prevent him from stepping up in the pocket.
Yes, and so it all has to work. It all has to work together. When you start to bring pressure, all right, you start to bring pressure. The best way to bring pressure against quarterbacks like this, you have to disguise the pressure. Because if they recognize which side the pressure is coming from, they can stand up there and count numbers. If they see the side the pressure is coming from, they can either start working away themselves from the protection. They become their own protection element. If they see where it's coming from, they may not even change the protection. They will know, look, I've got to beat one guy away from where they're bringing the pressure.
Right.
And most of the times, these guys have got this type of athletic ability, they can do that. So disguise, pre-snap disguise when you're bringing pressure against quarterbacks like this. You know, any time that I was ever doing game plans, you know, let's go way back. Let's go to Randall Cunningham. Let's go to Steve Young. Let's go to guys like that could get out and really scoot. Michael Vick. Mm-hmm. The thing you had to do was show him something different so that he didn't know where his escape valve was immediately.
Mm. Which Pease is brilliant at, right?
He is the best.
Yeah.
I talked to Dean today, you know, just going out to practice. And look. This guy's as good as it gets. Yeah. He really is.
It's pretty amazing, and we'll talk about the Oakland win, too, because I want to break that down in the next segment. But to look at what they did against that Oakland Raider offense, three of their first four possessions were touchdowns, and then the next five, nothing. 22 plays, 92 yards. And then the game went from 21-21 to 42-21 over.
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah, second half adjustment.
Those adjustments looked nice.
Dave McGinnis hanging out with us. Coach McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care and a coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Y'all powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Coach Dave McGinnis hanging out with us. Going to talk some Raiders,
okay?
Titans.
I'm going to miss the black hole. By the way, you didn't ask me, but I'm going to tell you. I mean, I really liked that venue. Every time I've ever coached in it, you know, that's part of the National Football League that is going away. You know, you'll never. I mean, they'll be able to transfer the fans. They'll have great fan following in Vegas, but they'll never be able to duplicate the black hole. They will never that's something that we will not see. I'm just glad I got to experience it for the last time. The last year it's going to be there, and it was it was a nice one to go out on.
We were having this discussion in the pregame show, and, you know, you got Kevin Dyson sitting here, and we talked about it a little bit in the postgame show. Blaine missed the pregame but was there for the postgame. You know, both of those guys played on a bunch of those dual-surface fields where you had dirt during baseball season. And with Oakland Alameda Coliseum not being part of the NFL anymore, I think that's it for playing on dirt for guys. So there'll be a whole bunch of kids who'd never see football players play on an infield, you know, in September and October.
It's a unique experience. It really was a unique, unique place. And you know, I mean, it was dilapidated, and but it had its own charm to it. And those fans, you know, those are passionate, passionate fans. They really are. And that place was full. And I always liked coaching there. As I said, when I coached, I used to walk down, talk to those people in the black hole, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed competing there because those fans, those are generational fans for that right. franchise. And they've grown up and they've seen some great, great games and have passed it on. And, you know, when they were playing John Facenda, the Autumn Wind as a Pirate, I mean, come on, man. That's old school NFL that, you know, you can't manufacture it. You've earned that through the years. And they'll be a huge success in Las Vegas. They will be a huge success, but they'll never be anything like the black hole in the Coliseum again.
Yeah, Coach, you had a line on A.J. Brown's touchdown. You said straight out of the black hole and out the other end. I actually tweeted that out.
Well, that's kind of what happened.
That is kind of what happened. All right, let's go through that game a little bit. And we start with the first drive, and Raiders make a nice play on a tip ball on that screen, and they get the interception headed down the field. And a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, most of the quarterbacks in the NFL at that point are trying not to get murdered on the field. Tannehill fights off a block, runs down the field, not only tackles the guy who outweighs him by at least 100 pounds, but decks him. What did you see from your vantage point in that play with that hustle, that effort play by Tannehill?
I just got one thing to say about that. Big Spring, Texas, West Texas dude. That's all you need to know.
He's not just going to run back to the sideline.
No.
He de-cleated him. He lifted him up off the ground when he hit him.
I'm surprised he held on to the ball, honestly.
If you watched him, he swung out yep. wide and got out of everybody's vision. So they figure quarterback's out of it. And then he made a beeline. I mean, he was like a dive bomber. And then he hit across the bow, hit him with everything, good launch into him. As I said, I mean, I went, all right, West Texas dude.
Yeah.
And that I absolutely loved it. And that to me, I mean, I don't want to see him do that a lot because when he hit him, he hit a big dude and that guy rolled over on him. Yeah. I mean, his hands were underneath him and there's a lot of things that could have happened. But those types of plays, when you come out on the other end of it healthy as a quarterback, they endear you not only to your team, but to everybody that is a fan of your team, because that's going over and above. He wasn't good. Now, you know, need to play better sudden change defense there and make him kick out a field goal.
Right.
But he did everything he could to give the defense a chance to play.
You know, and to go from that point in the game, it's interesting. We've talked about this all week. I just watching the game, historically speaking, with this franchise, a lot of times on a first series turnover and then touchdown, I'd be thinking, okay, great, here we go. But with this offense, the way that they're playing, I was like, all right, let's go. And it's funny because we've gone from an offense that we've seen put up, what, one touchdown in eight quarters at one point, and now is scoring at an alarming rate, 1 point per minute of possession, which is far better than anybody else in the NFL at this point.
Well, I mean, Arthur Smith and the quarterback and this offensive team, they're doing a nice job. They're in sync and they've got things going. I mean, one of the most impressive things to me is at this point, you know, since becoming a starter, I mean, Tannehill is sitting there with a little over 73% completion percentage. Yeah, right. And when you do that in the National Football League, normally you're throwing a lot of checkdowns yeah. because, I mean, it's easy to have a high percentage completion. But he's had 43 passes of over 15 yards.
That's crazy. He's number one in the NFL in yards per attempt also.
Yes, and so his explosive – and then so people will say, well, that's run after catch. You know, and that's – well, they ranked 21st in run after catch, so he's throwing it, spinning it. This offense that Arthur Smith has and what's going on, and they're, you know, it's going downfield. And that 9.8
9.8.
per completion right now. The only time the league has seen anything like that over an extended period of time was Kurt Warner in 2000 with the greatest show on turf. And so, I mean, you're seeing some really, really cool things offensively evolve, you know, from this offense, and it can be even more. And the thing I think that points out is you don't, I mean, you know, I've said this a lot on this show, and Dawn really likes it when I say this on the show, keep your powder dry.
She does like that.
Yeah, she likes that. Yeah.
She brings it up the rest of the week. Yeah.
She does like that. And so what you have to do is you got to let things evolve. I mean, this is, you know, a National Football League team is not just, you know, instant coffee. I mean, it has to evolve. You got to let it percolate some. And so now they're working.
We brought this up yesterday. Warren Sharp did the research here and tweeted this out. The Titans offense is scoring 1 point per minute of possession since Ryan Tannehill took over, by far number one in the NFL. The NFL average for offensive points scored per minute of possession is 0.57. So he's got listed the Titans number one. Then he leaves a huge space. Number two, Baltimore. And we all think about explosive offenses, the Baltimore Ravens, 0.73.
Yeah, well, I watch Baltimore in person. So, I've seen that in person.
That's right. You called that.
You
game,
have.
Right?
I'm curious. You're one of the best defensive minds in the game. How difficult would it be to defend this offense with the ability for Tannehill to spread things around and that big running back taking off?
Well, you said that big running back last. That big running back's a huge part of all that other stuff going on.
Yep.
And the fact that in this ball game, every eligible receiver that was active, you know, caught a pass in this ball game.
Outstanding.
Except one.
Yeah.
Every eligible receiver except one, you know, caught a pass in this ball game. And so, first of all, that permeates through practice too, Brent, because if you know if you're active, you're going to be involved with what's going on. I mean, this staff, if you're practicing and you're active, they're going to play you. And they're going to give you a chance. They're going to give you a chance to do something. The next thing is the confidence that the quarterback has in what Arthur Smith is calling and how clicky. I mean, how much they are clicking together. And then the other thing, let's not get our eyes off of this part of it. The protection has to be good for all of this to happen. And once this offensive line started to coalesce and gel with all their pieces back together and being able to work together for a while, the pass protection has been really, really good.
Well, and you've got a rookie, Nate Davis. You know, LaJuan's now been back, and he and Saffold, all the chemistry problems, a lot of those seem to be getting worked out. I mean, Ben Jones, haven't said his name in weeks, which is a great thing. When your name's not getting said as an offensive lineman, I mean, we wondered if this unit could be a strength, and for a while it was anything but that. But my gosh, like you said, let the pot of coffee percolate a little bit and see what happens on the other side. They've been a great example of that.
Yeah, they really have been. And it wasn't the same group for a while.
Right.
I mean, this wasn't the same group. We were trying to, patch things together and piece things together. And, then, of course, you know, Nate Davis missed a lot of time. I mean, this guy missed a lot of time. And don't ever underestimate how important that is for a rookie player to miss training camp and to miss all of these things. That's why I'm just jumping into something else. I mean, you look at what you're getting out of Jeffrey Simmons. Look at what you're getting out of this draft class,
right,
of these rookies. And we've got one that, you know, was in IR for all year that with this multiplicity of fronts that Dean Pease had, he'd have been a piece too. Mm-hmm. And so it takes time. And that's the one thing that's hard to get in the National Football League from a lot of perspectives is time. But I just know how football teams are put together rather than – there's a difference between a football team and a collection of talent. There's a huge difference.
Coach Dave McGinnis hanging out with us on 3HL. Two more segments. I promised Luke if he would hold that we would go to him first. So let's go to Luke. Luke, thanks for holding. Say hello to Coach Dave McGinnis.
Yeah, Coach, thanks for taking my call. Obviously,
sure, Luke.
I think Derrick Henry is going to be a big part of our offense for years to come. But I just wanted you all to touch on any possibility if Derrick Henry will not be a Titan next year. It's kind of scary to think about, but he is a free agent. So I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke.
Luke, thanks for the call. And let me tell you, don't be scared. Don't think about it. You know,
enjoy the ride this year.
Yes,
live in the moment.
There's plenty of time to do that. All of these things, as I was talking earlier in the segment about, you know, letting things – keep your powder dry. Let things percolate a little bit. These things are time sensitive. All right, and so you don't that's something that you don't even need to be worrying about right now, because all of that will be taken care of in due time. All right. Right now, you know, as watching this and being deeply involved in it, like all of us are, let's just enjoy what he's doing and what this offense is doing, what this football team is doing right now. The rest of that stuff, look, the National Football League, I made a living in it for a lot of years, still am. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot. It's the greatest thing that you can do if you're involved in it. But it also is a business. But there's time for all the pageant, the fun of it, the competition of it. Then there's a time for the business part of it. And you don't mix the two. You know, they're both huge parts of it, but they both have their season. The season right now is for the competition and trying to get to the tournament. We'll get to that other season later on, Luke.
It has been fun to watch Derrick Henry and that run the football, and particularly in these last four games with these four wins, and he's averaging 150 yards per game, 7 touchdowns in those four games, and one of those defenses happens to be the Colts, who are number 8 in the league against the run. Texans coming in, they're 18th against the run. What do you anticipate this week with regard to the Titans' ability to run the football, because he is dealing with a little soft tissue deal?
Yeah, well, they're going to do the same thing they've done. I mean, yeah. And to your point, Brent, they've been forcing the run against 8 and 9 man fronts the whole time. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden somebody's going to say, hey, let's put 8 guys down there and try to stop Henry. I mean, they've been doing that the whole time. And so, you know, it comes to a point, you know, where you know, as an offense, and as a mindset of the team, you know what you're going to be presented on defense when you've got a running game like this, and then you've got to impose your will on it and make it work. They're going to see the same thing from Houston. Houston's going to put 8 or 9 people down there, you know, because they know they have to. I mean, but you just got to keep pounding it and working at it. And then the thing that's the beauty part of it is that those 3 and 4 yard gains, you know, in the first and second quarter become 6 and 7 yard gains, you know, in the third and fourth quarter. And then with when those happen, then your second down play action is wide open to you. Watch how many of these play action plays have come off of second and manageable. I mean, it's huge. And that's what's so important. But to be able to get to that point, you've got to be able to go through the first part of it as to where early in the ball game, I mean, I've called enough defenses to know early in the ball game, I could stop a big running back. I could put enough people down there, but as the game wore on and if the score starts separating a little bit, it gets a little harder and a little harder, and that's where they've been having success so far this year. They will see the same thing from Houston. Romeo Crennel has defensed a lot of big backs in his time. He'll put enough people down there to start off the game. Now let's see how the game progresses when the score starts to separate and then what happens.
You mentioned the play action piece of this. Again, it's Coach Dave McGinnis hanging out, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. As a defense, how do you stem the tide with that play action? Because especially with Tannehill, the combination of he and Derrick Henry and how well the offensive line's playing, everything else they're doing, it just seems like it builds a lot of momentum over the course of a game, and it's hard to stop.
Well, the thing as a defense, if you're asking me, the defense has to help. Your offense has to possess the ball.
Right.
Your offense has to possess the ball, because that goes hand in hand. Anytime anybody's got a good play action game, it means that they're able to run the ball. And if they're able to run the ball, it means that the score is not separated very far. Mm-hmm. As long as you've got the run capable to you, and because when the score starts separating as an offense, you don't have time enough to run it all the time.
Right.
That's why what they did against Kansas City, and really what they did last week, they stayed with the run even right. when the score was separated
yep.
by more than 2 scores. That takes a lot of resolve as a play caller and as an offense and, you know, as a head coach, you know, and it puts a little bit of onus on your defense to get the ball back, get the ball back, get the ball back. Well, they've proven that they can do that. But, you know, you're asking me, it all has to go hand in hand.
When the Colts took the 17-7 lead with about 9 minutes to go in the third quarter, the Titans ran the ball on play 1, 8 yards. They ran the ball on play 2, 34 yards. To your point, they stayed with what they were, and they were able to overcome.
Yeah, and again, I mean, that's when you also develop the confidence in your offensive line. The offensive line develops confidence in themselves. And the other thing that it does to a defense mentally is that when you get a score separated and you're on the plus side of it as a defense, there's times when you say, okay, finally, we're going to be able to just put our cleats in the ground, get in our track stances, and rush the passer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you keep making them defend the run, then all of a sudden you got them back on their left foot again. But you have to be successful running it.
Coach Dave McGinnis hanging out with us. One thing I noticed about Ryan Tannehill, you said this several times during the course of the game, that was his third read. Later on, that was his third read. He was doing that all day long.
Yeah, and he's you know, he has time to do it
mm-hmm.
because he's getting good protection. Plus, he understands, you know, he and Arthur Smith are right in sync with what they call and what's going to be there and how you look at it. And you know, when he's changing plays at the line of scrimmage, that's all predetermined. It's, you know, that's something that you dissect and diagnose, you know, as a coaching staff, and you present it to your quarterback, you present it to your offense. If we get this look, we're going to this. I mean, it's run to run. Pass to run to pass. But here's how we're setting this. So if you recognize this look, bam, this, you know, you easy, you change it. Here's what we're going to. They've been in sync with that. They put together really nice game plans, and they're executing them. And that's what's so important. There's nothing that happens at the line of scrimmage, guys, that by chance. Nothing happens at the line of scrimmage by chance. You know, and a lot of times people, you know, get misconstrued that if you're changing a play at the line of scrimmage, that you're just changing it into something you just grabbed out of the air. That's not true.
Well, let's go to that. So Ryan Tannehill has had a lot of success either getting the Titans out of a bad play or more specifically getting them into a good one. The 91-yard touchdown pass. Clearly he's at the line of scrimmage, changing protection, changing the play, whatever he's doing. And it worked.
Well, what he saw in that was he started out with a slot formation, and he put Khalif Raymond in motion. Mm-hmm. And when Khalif Raymond went in motion, and they came over there, he knew he had single. Now, they were really in quarters coverage. The quarter safety on that open side bit on the run fake. Mm-hmm. That's not how scared. You know, professional football players aren't scared.
We got
that's
you.
That's how concerned they were. Yes. About Henry running the ball off of the goal line. He's a backside quarter safety on the open side, and he starts to fill down into that run behind it. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, then that corner's by himself out there, and A.J. Brown slapped him aside like your little brother in the backyard.
Yep.
And then you know, just took off, and you know, just, you know, it's like he'd knock a dog off your bicycle wheel. I mean, when he was running down the field. I mean, but all of that stuff is predetermined. If we get this look,
right,
here's what we're going to. All right. And all of that stuff is, and that takes a lot of study and work during the week by the coaching staff and by the quarterback and then the offense when it's presented to them all on Wednesday. The quarterbacks get all of this stuff on Monday and Tuesday. And then the rest of the group gets it all. And then they work through it as a group, you know, Wednesday through Saturday, and then go put it into play on Sunday.
How pretty was that play from the press box?
I said, well, I mean, you know, of course, that press box, the press box is really nice. It's really nice, big, and spacious.
But you're far away.
Yeah. No. That press box, that press box is. I mean, I've had clothes closets twice as big as that press box, and that thing was. Yeah, but anyway, when he threw it up, I was concerned about the protection because they were bringing some heat.
Right.
And then when he threw it up, he had him beat. And then when he shoved him off, and that's what I said. I said, you know, the black hole's got a lot of really tough characters in it. The toughest character is that guy just caught the ball, you know, because it just wasn't going to be denied. I mean, it's a beautiful play. The one that brought me out of the press box, the one where I did the flip out into the. You know, when I said the critters are leaving the Coliseum, when I did the flip out of the press box was the punch out and Jayon Brown picking up on the sideline. That's
a fun one to go back and watch because the ball, it seemed like the ball was on the field for like 5 minutes.
No, it was spinning like you know, all your golfers out there. You know, you had those diamond wedge bezels that can bite a ball, you know, yep. And it hits the green, it just spins, sit there and spins. And that's what it was doing.
Yeah.
It was just sitting there spinning, and everybody on the sideline with Titans gear on was pointing at the ball.
Oh, and Vrabel was one of them.
Oh, no, right they there. All were. I mean,
that's
it's just
so funny.
The thing that I love when I watch tape, I watch the sideline first
and
the stands and stuff because there's some really fun stuff that goes on when you're looking at that. The immediate reaction when there's a fumble on your sideline, everybody points to the ball, you know, like the players on the field can't see it. And then and then they start pointing towards the goal line like he doesn't know where the hell the direction to run.
Well, he knew the way, that's
and
for sure.
And then they start jumping up and down.
Oh, right. I love it. And the reactions on the sidelines are priceless like that.
A lot of fun for sure. One more segment with Coach Dave McGinnis coming up. Again, you can jump in the discussion, 615-737-1045. We'll get you on the line.
Drops, looks, fires, there's Waller, an open space hit, lost the ball, the Titans have picked it up, it's Brown, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10-5, end zone. Ty Smith with the hit. Jayon Brown with the pickup and the return. Touchdown, Titans.
3 show powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Big play. We were talking about that on the other side. And the peanut punch there by Ty Smith.
That was Peanut Tillman, man. That was Peanut Tillman punch. And you know what? You know the great thing about it, too, is he stayed up high on the tackle, mm-hmm. and he was high on the tackle. He Coco butted him up. He was straight up with him. All right, and he had that left arm around him, but he definitely took that right hand and punched at that ball. And then Jayon had great awareness. And here's the other thing too, is it helps to be a really good flexible athlete in the National Football League or in anything that you're doing. But as fast as he scooped that thing up, I mean, there was no hesitation. I mean, he pulled that thing up like he was playing, like it was a highlight scoop. You know, he pulled that thing up and just kept moving.
Kevin Byard said today, I think, he said that he was going to spend some time with Ty Smith this week to try to learn that punch move.
You know, and some guys have a knack for that.
I thought Ty played pretty well.
You know, he did. They bring a guy in. They bring a guy in off the street and play him. But mm-hmm. here's two things that showed me. First of all, it's an excellent coaching staff.
Yeah.
Really good personnel department. Finding somebody that had played, because when you bring a veteran in, you know you're going to be able to get him to do something. And the strength of that locker room to be able to, because as much as the new guys learn when they come in from the coaches, they learn twice as much from the players
right.
because they're around them more.
Right.
You know, they're around them more, and the players can break them down with a game plan, you know, pretty quick. That job that they did that last week was really good, and you know what that gets them? The chance to do it again. Yeah. Now you got to do it again.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Always love taking phone calls. Let's go Glenn in Carthage who checks in next. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, guys and gals and Coach Mack, how you doing?
Glenn, doing great. Thanks for calling in.
Now, Coach Mack, I've known you coach linebackers for years, and what I haven't really heard being talked about on national media is the play that Jayon Brown made by jumping over the pile and making the tackle in the backfield like Polamalu. Now, do you, as a linebackers coach, do you coach something like that, or is it just instinct?
Well, look, and that's a great question, and it's a relevant question, and I've got answers for you. First of all, I mean, you've got to have athletes that can do that, and that's just that's natural. When I first broke into the league, I had some of the best athletes in the world. You know, they did a lot of things that I wouldn't even think about being able to coach because I wouldn't even think to ask them to do that. But that specific play, that was something that, I mean, he had worked on that, and that's film study, because what they did, they had two backs in the backfield. They had an offset fullback. They put the tailback in motion, and when you're playing a 6-5 goal line, your linebackers have those two backs in the backfield man-to-man, and what they were trying to do with that, what John Gruden was trying to do, and he's done this everywhere he's been, and it's a great job of going back on film study, you know, with their advanced people, with the coaches, and then with the players, you know, studying during the week. When they sent that tailback in motion with that offset back, they were going to turn around and hand it to that fullback who was trying to hit the gap on a real short yardage play where the linebacker has left. All right.
Right.
As soon as that dude started in motion, Jayon didn't move out. He moved up. Mm-hmm. He started working up. And also he knew then too, once they get into motion, the certain part of where they got to in motion, that's when the ball was going to be snapped. So he not only moved up, he timed the snap. He timed the snap and then jumped over the top and full faced that guy up. That was a great play by Jayon, but it wasn't by accident, I promise you.
Also, the guys in front of him, do they have to be in concert also? Because they've got to hit the interior offensive line.
Well, they've got to play knockback. I mean, right. they're playing knockback.
So they're aware of what he's about to do, well, I would think, right?
Well, on a goal line, you always want your defensive lineman leveraged underneath and playing knockback.
Right.
If their side of the line of scrimmage, the defensive side of the line of scrimmage, Brent, to your point, gets knocked back into Jayon's lap, well, then he's just jumping up into their back. Mm-hmm. So it all has to go together.
Well, I really like that defensive line, especially with the emergence of Big Jeff on goal line situations.
Yeah, and we haven't even touched what Big Jeff can do. We haven't even touched it because this guy's playing National Football League football under fire. I mean, just, you know, he had no training camp, no right. anything.
Hardly no practice.
Preparation.
No.
Yeah, and, one and, practice and, before
so
his first
what,
game.
Yeah. What he is doing, and I mean, what a great draft pick. I mean, that's I was so happy when we picked him because when he went through, you know, I went through all those 200 players last year and we just watched the defensive front. That guy was far and away the most complete one. Far and away. You know, everybody wants to say Quinnen Williams? No. This guy. This guy was the package, and everybody else that watched football was thinking that too.
Well, you mentioned this draft class earlier. David Long was out there playing. Hooker yep. was out there playing. You got a guard that's starting that was at Nate Davis. I mean,
there's not one of them that hasn't contributed.
AJ could be offense rookie of the year.
Yeah, there's Boy. Not one of them that hasn't contributed. Yeah, and again, as I said, we got one that was put on ice.
Right.
You know, and he's gonna be he's gonna be a piece that's gonna help too.
AJ's got a shot at 1,000 yards as a rookie for Titans.
And look, I sat in here with you guys and we talked about the draft extensively like we do every year, and I said, all right, I did this guy because, you know, I was asked, how about both of them at Mississippi? And I said, AJ Brown reminded me of Q.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anquan Boldin. And Mike Keith asked me that today on the OTP if I still felt that way. I do feel that way just by approach to ball game, physical nature, but the thing that AJ has over Anquan, and Anquan will tell you this. I mean, because I went back and looked at my notes. I keep every note from every combine I've ever been to, and I go back and look at the notes from Anquan's 40 time, 4.71.
Right.
This guy's faster.
Yeah, it's funny. There were questions about his speed, but you don't ever see anybody catching him when he's, you know, running away from him every week, it seems like.
AJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, just think he's not fast. Yeah. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
I brought this up with Mike Keith. Remember, I think it was during training camp, and I was like, Coach Mack, is AJ Brown too big?
That's right.
Too big for a wide receiver here. No, Don, don't be dumb.
Yeah, you said that. Don't be dumb.
And I said it lovingly,
yes,
too.
Yes, you did.
It's
yes,
funny, though.
I can remember that standing out there in practice. He said, Coach Mack, is he too bad? Don't be dumb.
He plays the sport with a linebacker's mentality. Like, he catches the ball, and he's immediately up the field, and he's either going to attack you or run by you. It's basically your choice.
Well, yeah. he's got that physical mindset. Plus, here's the other thing that he loves playing and he loves preparing. This kid, and that's what reminded me. And I didn't know he was this kind of kid, you know, because I knew what Anquan was. That's why I drafted him. Because when he first stepped on the practice field across that white line, he's a full grown man. I mean, you didn't have to tell him how to act and what to do and how he approached the game. And you know, for 13 years he did that in this league, but this guy is the same way. I didn't know that about him until now. I watched him and you see him. And I talked to Rob Moore about him because, you know, I'm pretty close with Rob. And Rob with Mac, he gets it.
Chris on Twitter, Wednesdays with hashtag Coach Mack are the best. Listening to him makes my football IQ go up instantly.
Chris, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
It's true.
Let's try to squeeze in just one more quick call.
I love the calls.
We got one call left on the line. Mario in Nashville. Hey, Mario.
Hey, I know this may sound ridiculous, but has the NFL ever considered changing the rules or making sort of their own version of the RICO Act? And then that way, you know, when something's connected to the Patriots or they got a fall guy set up, they can trace it back to the guys at the top.
Mario, you know what? That's a question that's pretty relevant today because of what went on with Bingo Gate. I guess that's what it'll be.
8 minutes
some
of signals.
Kind of
some documentary
kind of
about a scout.
Yeah, but I mean,
no one would ever watch.
I cannot really imagine that if you were really trying to do subterfuge, that you would set up a big camera right in the press box and say, "Guess what?" and ask permission to come in there and set it up and say, "Guess what? Nobody will ever look at this." I mean, I think that if it had been any other team other than the Patriots,
we'd just keep moving.
Yeah. We would just keep moving.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Correct. So let's
– I don't know.
Let's – okay, Dawn, I want to hear your I don't know.
I don't know.
I want to hear your I don't know.
The fact that it's the Patriots makes it even worse.
I don't trust them.
I feel like any team, right?
I don't trust them.
You'd be like, eh.
I like your takes because you've got a different good viewpoint on it. I like it. But
I do. But you're wrong.
I do reserve the right to, just like when we're standing together on the practice field. Don?
Don't be dumb.
Keep your powder dry, Don.
Keep your powder dry.
Speaking of, 3HL for Life tweeted out a picture of Yoda and writes, "Your powder dry, you must keep it."
Yes.
Coach Mac equals Yoda.
All right, Coach Yoda.
Coach
Mac, he's our coach. He's your coach. He's Coach Mac. Mac Talk is coming up, too. Let's tell people about that.
We got Mac Talk coming up tomorrow night. That Mac Talk's been so much fun. Rhett Bryan and I have so much fun. And, I mean, we get 25 calls in an hour. I mean, it's a lot of fun. That Disc Insider's a wonderful venue. It really is. I mean, I've made more friends with dogs in Wedgewood, Houston area, you know, in my time down there. And that's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun doing that, and I love the caller participation. It's been great.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Colorado State has a new head coach. Is it Butch Jones? We'll tell you when we come back.
Oh, boy. What about this? If you were Butch Jones, I'll tell you what you'd want to do if you came to Nashville. You'd want to go to a Preds game. Everybody knows that. You don't have to be Butch Jones to want to go to a Preds game. Look, Preds tickets are always in high demand. I got buddies in Arkansas, and they want to come to games. And, you know, I got people over in the Memphis market, and they watch basketball, but they want to come over and watch hockey. And, hey, it doesn't matter where you live in Tennessee or anywhere around. You want to go to a Preds game. So you want to go to the best games, right? Well, the Preds have made it so you can do that. Not just go to games, but go to the very best, the most fierce rivalry games. And here's what you do. You pick two games which you'd like to attend from a short list of bitter rivals. I'm talking like the Blues, the Knights, the Penguins. Does that sound good to you? It does, right? That's what you want to see. Starting at $70 per game. Two-game rivalry pack. That's what they call it. It's the only way to get tickets to these high-profile games. It also ensures that Smashville is decked out in gold for that home ice advantage we all know and love. All giving you access to the best games for the best prices. Two-game rivalry pack. That's what you ask for. Great games, great prices, all gold. Visit NashvillePredators.com/rivalry today to secure your two-game rivalry pack. 104.5.